Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
Now if you are going to become a part of God's world, you must deal with love issues of the heart. Because God has a serious expectation that you will love him more than anyone or anything else. We enter into human relationships with people, and before we decide to marry them, we want that from them. No lady wants to marry a man who's still fooling around with Lucy. Honey, here's a ring. I want to marry you. In fact, Lucy, come here. Put it on her finger for me. You'll say, you're absolutely out of your mind, man. Get lost. No guy wants to ask a woman to be his wife who has another man living with her. It's ridiculous, isn't it? God does not want to enter into a relationship with you unless you give him your entire heart. God created us. We were made in the image of God. We were created to be emotional beings. Why? Because our Father is emotional. Now, let me prove it to you, because see, folks, you've got to understand that everything you do with God is based on your relationship with him. God is not about religious form. When God says come to church, it's because he's there and he wants to meet you there. It's not about your attendance. It's not about marking names. It's about that's my house. I expect you to be there when I'm there. Why? Because we're in a relationship. How many of you live in a family and you will allow your family members not to ever come to the table and eat a meal with you? You live in the same house. You're supposed to have a relationship, but yet you never eat together because they're all too busy. Bye, mom. Bye, mom. Bye, dad. Bye-bye. There's something wrong when they don't want to be with you and fellowship with you. There's a problem with that relationship. Now, in Matthew chapter 22 and 37, it shows that God has a serious expectation regarding us and our love for him. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. See, some people say, well, I can't get emotional about God. Then you don't have a relationship with him. Listen, this is the Bible. Love the Lord your God with your heart. Your heart is the center of your emotions. Hello? They say knock on wood. Your heart is where your emotions are. You can't love God from your heart. You can't be emotional about God. It's like a woman who will marry a man who never says, I love you. Well, I know he loves me. You just wanted a husband. You need to hear that man say, honey, I love you sometime. He needs to do something nice for you to show that he has some emotional feelings, that he's not dead. God is the same way. God wants you to show some emotion. That's why Jesus said, love the Lord with all of your heart. And then he said, with all of your soul. And then he said, with all of your mind. The mind has to do with your reason, your memory. How many of you would enter into a marriage with a person who doesn't even remember your name? Doesn't remember your birthday ever, doesn't remember anniversaries, doesn't remember the important things, doesn't even remember the day you met. You call that a relationship? Oh, I'm meddling now. But I'm trying to prove a point. God wants us to think about him. God wants us to remember the things he's done for us. It's a relationship that God is after. Now, verse 38 says, this is the first and greatest commandment. I'm going to say it again. God demands to be first in your life. If you do not want God to be first in your life, you are barking up the wrong tree. Just go do whatever you want to do. Because if God can't be first, he will not be second or last. He won't. Listen to the first commandment. Exodus 20 and 3, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God, and you shall have no other gods before me." Verse 5, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Jesus made it plain in Luke chapter 14 and 26, "Anyone who wants to be my follower must love me more than he does his own father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, or his sisters. Yes, more than his own life. Otherwise, he cannot be my disciple." See, folks, God is everything. I want it all. I want all of you, not the little pieces we spoon feed to him. Jesus said to the church in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, "I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you've fallen. Repent and do the first things again." Are you getting the picture with God in relationships? It's scaring you a little bit, isn't it? It's making you think. God wants to be first in your finances. Proverbs chapter 3 and 9 says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase." That has to do with being first, folks. It's all about relationship with God. When you pay your tithes or give an offering, you need to realize you are giving it straight to God. You're not putting it in a man's hand. I know the bucket goes by or the plate or whatever, and you think, "I'm giving." No, you are giving it to God. And love is God's primary focus upon giving. Why? Again, God is a God of relationship. Everything you do with God is about relationship. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 3, it says, "And though I give all my goods to feed the poor, but if I have not love, it profits me nothing." But if I have not love. No, love for who? Love for who? Love for the object of your giving. If I do not give out of love for the object of my giving, it profits me nothing. Whenever you give an offering or a tithe to God, it should be because you love him, or it profits you very little. It's all about relationship. When our giving is not motivated by our love, God is very disappointed, he is hurt, and he is very sad. Because in his mind, your giving to him is all about your love. Now, we have strange ways as human beings. When it's somebody's party, we feel we need to take a gift, and we give it because it's expected. At Christmas time, oh, the grandchildren are going to be expecting gifts. So this person's going to, my coworker, that loser, oh, they're expecting a gift. My boss should be giving me a gift, but I've got to give my boss. See, we live with a double standard. We will give because it's expected of us. God says, when you give to me, I only want love gifts. Give to me because you love me, not out of duty, not out of law. When you give your tithes and offering, God wants it to be because you love him, not because some preacher expects it, not because the people next to you will see you didn't put anything in the plate. Some people will put an empty envelope in. It's not a lot of love in an empty envelope. We're not doing this to please people. We're supposed to be doing it because we love him. Somebody say amen. Now, the purpose of our giving must change. It must be to honor and worship him, because that's what he expects. And Psalm 96 and 8, it says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due his name." Is there glory? Is there honor that we should give to the Lord? Is there? Yeah, it was your time to get involved in the sermon. Amen. Yeah. The scripture goes on to say, bring an offering and worship him. When we bring our offerings, we are worshiping him. We're not just giving, folks. It's worship. Remember, to God, giving is a matter of the heart. Because everything God does with you is about relationship. God receives our love when we give to him willingly.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve, and each of us have a prophetic destiny. Every person born is simply searching for the why and the how of their existence. Everyone wants to know, why am I here? And how do I accomplish my true purpose? Well, the why and the how of our existence can only be found in God, our Creator. The Bible says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. Your purpose is discovered by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And you will never gain greater satisfaction in life than to serve your true purpose. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
Exodus chapter 25 and verse 2. Listen to what God says about taking offerings. Speak to the children of Israel, Moses, that they bring me an offering. Number one, offerings are for God. Remember that. Your finances are going to God. And he says, from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall receive an offering. Now, this is God speaking. He says, everyone who will give willingly with their heart, receive it. In other words, if they are not willing, if they're not giving it from their heart, don't take it from them. Our mentality about offerings must change. God wants your love and your worship when you give. That's what it's really for. Oh, yes, the lights have to be paid. The church has to go on. Things have to be done. But that is not your primary focus. It's not supposed to be about charity. It's supposed to be about love. That is primary to God. The New Testament mirrors the same request in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. Each man should give what he decides in his heart to give. Listen to God. Write these scriptures down. Pay attention. Where God says heart, he's saying, love me. Will somebody love me, do something for me out of love? Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, the word cheerful there means merry. When I took the offering today, thank you, that person who started clapping. Because you're not giving to this church, you're giving to him. Hilarious means overwhelming joy. Actually, it means side-splitting joy. God wants us to be so happy when it's time to give to him. Another translation is the word entertainment. God is entertained when we give to him if we're hilarious. He says, look how much they love me. Oh, look, they're getting excited. They're all clapping to give to me. You say, well, God doesn't care about that. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. Have you ever gotten applause for something you did? Oh, you may try and be humble about it and put your head down and you want to say, oh, stop. But you know you really want to say, keep going. Thank you very much. I'm glad somebody paid attention. God is no different. God is no different. Most days we don't wake up and say, oh, merciful Father, thank you for waking me up this morning. When you woke me up this morning, this little eye opened and I realized I was breathing and I could think in my right mind. Most of us don't do that. We just get up, get dressed, and we're gone. Come on, be real. Some of us say a prayer. We say, oh, Lord, thank you this day for everything. Amen. Be with me. Hallelujah. See you when I get back. Some of us don't even say that. We just think it. We just go. I know you got all that, Lord. So when you give, that's the opportunity. Every week you have an opportunity to say, hey, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you did for me. I love you. Love you. Here, this is the best I can give. Now, you know I've been asking you for more, but this is the best you gave me, so this is the best you get this week. We need to be real with God. He's real with us. Don't put any more empty envelopes in the offering. There's nothing in it. If you do, don't write on it. Most people don't write on empty envelopes. We just use them again. You see? Now, just very quickly, let's discuss the faith aspect of giving. Because all of God's principles for life and success are based upon our trusting Him. Now, you know, we talk a lot about faith, folks, but listen, to God, it's not about faith. Do you know what it's about? Trust. God has a serious issue with trust. Do you trust me? Do you really trust me? Because the only way out of the wilderness is to trust what I told you. Go read it in the book. You don't know the book. That's why you don't trust me. Get the book, read it. Well, Lord, I don't have time. Can I give you a secret? That's why you're in the wilderness. Because God knows you'll pick it up. You'll begin to read it and try and find some way out. And all the time, God is smiling. He's so happy because you're reading His word. You're finding out what He finally said to you. There's got to be a passage here that encourages me today, something that's going to help me to get out of this wilderness. Oh, God, please get me out of the wilderness. Oh, please. Oh, here's a good scripture. And we begin to find the word of God, and finally we begin to quote it back to Him. The Bible says God watches over His word to perform it. So as you speak the word of God, God says, ha, ha, that's right. Now don't give Him any Hezekiah 3:6. Half of you are laughing because you don't realize that Hezekiah is not a book in the Bible. But you can laugh now also. You've got to give God His word back because He is watching over His word to perform it. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 6 that without trust, it's impossible to please God. Let me ask you a question. If you're in a relationship with someone you love, is it possible to please you if they don't trust you? Hello, is it? And this is your opportunity to preach again. I'm going to ask you one more time. When you're in a relationship with someone you love, is it a good relationship when they don't trust you? That's exactly right. I don't know how long that relationship can last, truthfully, if you don't trust the person you say you love. But that's the situation we place God in so often. Because if we really trusted Him, we wouldn't carry on the way we do. I don't know how you carry on. I know how I carry on. But since I know God very well, I usually don't even talk about it. Because it's not that I don't trust Him. I just don't necessarily agree with His timing. Bad for you, but God always comes through. I used to sing the song, the elders in the church, the older folks in the church, the mothers in the church used to sing the song, He may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. Oh, just a little guy singing that song. I had no idea the revelation in that little song. He will not come when you want it, but he's always on time. They need to change that song. I don't know if it's written down anywhere, but wherever it's written, it needs to be changed. Now, God uses giving, showing it as being illustrated as sowing seed. That's because there is always a harvest when you sow a seed. And God promises us that when we give, when we sow, there will always be a harvest. But God warns us, he says, don't look at your circumstances to decide if you're going to sow or not. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. And it says, whoever watches the wind will not sow. Well, you know, if you watch, if you're sowing and it's windy, you try and throw your seed this way and it'll go that way. It just depends where the wind is. So you don't want to sow when it's windy. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Well, you know, you don't go out and start reaping your harvest when it's a soaking rain. But God says, don't be influenced by the circumstances. Sow your seed in the morning. And at evening, don't allow your hands to be idle. In other words, sow all day long. You have an opportunity to sow, sow, give to God. You have another opportunity, give again. You have another opportunity, give again. If you go to five services in one day, give in every single service that you can. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. You don't know which harvest will come up as a result of which seed you have sown. Don't rely on one offering to bring you a harvest, especially if that offering was last year. Now, God promises financial success to all who sow. Galatians 6 and 7 says, whatever a man sows, that he will reap. While the earth remains, there will always be seed time and harvest, summer and winter, spring and fall. Listen, sowing and reaping is a part of life. God's not going to take it away. When you give to God, you will receive a harvest. So much so that in 2 Corinthians 9 and 6, God reminds us that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. But we need to consider this. When you're not sowing at all, what harvest are you expecting to get? Now, some of us really believe in the supernatural. But this is not super, neither is it natural. When you expect God, now this is a farmer, and he has a field. He wants a harvest, but he's expecting God to sow the seed for him. Well, what is he doing? He's praying. Well, what is he doing? He's believing. But folks, that's not super. That's not natural. God will not come and plant seed for a farmer to receive a harvest. No. He provides seed for the sower. You have to sow it.
This concludes part two of the message today. Join us tomorrow for part three.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. If you were touched by the message today, consider going to our website and making a donation of any size. Your generous donation can help keep our radio ministry alive. Visit our website at aplacetogrow.org and contribute today. You can also download a copy of today's message by navigating to the Media tab.
The title of today's message is God's Plan for Financial Success, Part 1.
Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
Lord, you said, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. And so, Lord, right now we are asking that you would help us, that you would intervene in what's happening right now. Father, I know there's some listener right now who is in trouble, who is in despair, who is even depressed, and we're praying right now for their total deliverance. We bind and we cast out every spirit of heaviness. You said, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And Lord, so we praise you now for the answer to their need. Give them faith, give them courage, give them hope. Thank you for your love. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. You're always invited to join us for our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10. We offer a safe environment. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Also, remember to be with us every weekday at 4 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2:30, right here on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR.